WGN. I'm James Van Hustle, here for Matt Kubala. Here we go. Joined in the studio by Mike McBeardo McPadden. Mike is an author. Hi, Mike.
Hey, how are you, James?
I'm good. You've written a book, which I just adore. It's called Heavy Metal Movies. It is an indispensable compendium of every movie that is in some way tangentially tied to heavy metal music.
Yeah.
The thing about this book, while it does talk a lot about heavy metal and horror are forever linked.
From the outset, yeah.
So, I mean, there's a ton of horror information here.
Right.
And just reading this book, which I think you're a fantastic writer.
Thank you.
Reading this book, I can tell your passion for horror. And that's one of the reasons I wanted you to come in this morning. It's Halloween season.
Right.
I want to talk scary movies with you.
Sure.
But actually, before we even do that, I mentioned this book. What's the elevator pitch for someone who is interested in this?
It's your complete guide. 666 films that are about heavy metal, contain heavy metal, or somehow tangentially connected to heavy metal. From the film Black Sabbath to things you'd never expect, such as 2001 A Space Odyssey.
Right, or yeah. Sergeant Pepper's, the Peter Frampton and Bee Gees movie.
Right. Right, because Alice Cooper and Aerosmith are in it, right.
Have you heard the latest Alice Cooper, Paul McCartney cover?
Yeah, I thought it was pretty good. The Eleanor Rigby.
Oh, yeah. Not a fan.
Oh, really?
I love the Coop.
Yeah.
I even love his version of... You've got the eyes of Alice Cooper tattooed on your hands.
Yeah, literally marked by the eyes of Alice Cooper. Yeah.
I kind of like the version of Because from Sgt. Pepper's.
Which he sang in the Art Fern voice, the Johnny Carson Tea Time movie host.
I kind of like that.
It's cool, yeah.
The thing about your book, I've probably read it 4 times.
Wow.
But I've not read it consecutively. I've not read it chronologically. This is the kind of book you pick up, just start reading a couple pages. It's not meant to be read, I think, from cover to cover. You pick it up.
Absolutely not, yeah.
You just dive in wherever. It's a fun book in that respect.
I've met a few people that have told me, like, they're working their way through it. I'm like, I say thank you graciously, and I think they're insane. I can't imagine reading a book like that.
Yeah, it's the kind of thing I'll thumb through it, and I'll just kind of drop anchor on a movie. Like, oh, Manhunter, I remember that. I'll start going from there. I'll bounce around. Oh, Phantasm, let's go from there.
Right.
So, all right, let's talk horror movies. Is Halloween a big deal in the McBeardo house?
The holiday or the film, or both? Yes. The answer is yes.
Hey, as a kid, did you dress up?
I did. Oh, please, yeah. As a kid and a couple of years ago and, yeah, this year.
Still as an adult?
Yeah.
What was the best costume?
Best costume ever was, in college, and I went to art school. I found, in a weird story, I found these Three Stooges masks, these rubber full head masks. And again, I have a Three Stooges tattoo. So I stuffed them and sewed them to a blazer jacket. So I wore the Larry mask, the Stooge in the middle, Larry, which was the name of his biography, and sewed Curly and Moe on my shoulders. And I was a three headed Stooge. Now,
that sounds really frightening.
It was, I hope so. But what was amazing was that a few years later, on Roseanne, Dan Connor, John Goodman, was wearing that costume. And I am convinced that they ripped that off from me. Because I went to SUNY Purchase, where a lot of the creators of The Sopranos went, Moby and Parker Posey. And
I love Parker Posey.
I knew Parker Posey as a 17-year-old. And boy, did she light up the cafeteria.
I bet she did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm convinced they ripped it off. And then I was in a Halloween store like a few years after that, and they actually manufacture a three-headed Stooge mask.
You know what this says? This says that you, Mike McBeardo McPadden,
yeah,
you're a visionary.
I have to agree. I really do.
You are.
When it comes to, yeah, the Three Stooges and novelty costumes put together by junk, yeah.
So, all right, Halloween, it's a big deal. You love horror. You've loved it since you were a kid. Yeah. Everyone knows the big movies. I mean, if you look on the web, there are all these lists circulating, the best horror movies ever. And you'll see the usual suspects, Night of the Living Dead, Halloween, maybe even Jaws on some lists.
Sure, yeah.
Suspiria.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
But what I want to know, and because you are such a hardcore fan, I want to know what those movies are that we haven't seen. And you've seen them all.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know how you find the time to catalog all this stuff in your head or just in print. You've seen everything.
Yeah, it was a lonely childhood that extended to about 10 years ago.
So I'm going to take a break here in a second. Let's tease what we're going to talk about.
Okay.
When we come back, what's the first thing on our list we're going to get into?
Do we want to talk? We want to talk about some French films. We want to go high arts.
Oui.
Très bien.
Très bien.
Bloody très bien.
All right. Mike McBeardo McPadden is here. We're talking some of those scary movies that are under the radar. And if you have a question about horror in general, this is your guy to ask. You can call us 312. You don't mind taking calls, right?
Please.
All right. 312-981-7200. If you want to know a good movie to see, if you have a question about an existing horror movie, Mike's your guy. So we'll come right back, 312-981-7200. It's WGN. Oh my God, what's happening? WGN, James Van Osel here with Mike McBeardo McPadden. Mike is a writer, he's an author, he's written the book Heavy Metal Movies. He is encyclopedic when it comes to horror. And we're talking about under-the-radar horror movies this hour, those movies that you haven't seen, but just in time for Halloween, you should track them down. 312-981-7200 if you have a question about horror. Mike's absolutely your guy. And, Mike, what was that we just heard?
That was a little bit of Dolly Dearest from 1991.
Dolly Dearest. I didn't know that existed.
Well, no one in their right mind should know, but I'm not in my right mind, clearly, because I'm intimately familiar with Dolly Dearest.
Is it good?
It's terrible, but kind of awesome. And what I like about it is Dolly Dearest is actually a character in the film. She is a doll possessed by the devil or, you know, some kind of cosmic demonological force. And her name is Dolly Dearest.
You say that so effortlessly.
And they refer to her as many times as Christina Crawford in the movie Mommy Dearest calls Joan Crawford Mommy Dearest,
mm-hmm.
That's how often they refer to Dolly Dearest by her full name, Dolly Dearest.
Well, since we're on the topic, before we get into those under-the-radar horror movies, dolls are a thing. That is...
They are, yeah.
Would that be a trope in horror movies?
I'd say that counts as a trope, yeah. Spooky dolls, scary dolls, yeah.
Like, I remember, I guess my most profound scary doll memory was The Twilight Zone.
Talking Tina, yeah.
That was, I mean, it's
still.
It, yeah. I think part of the reason is it's black and white,
yeah,
which lends to the creepiness. Yeah. But that to me was always the most memorable Twilight Zone.
Yeah, I'll tell you, my favorite Twilight Zone also has a toy motif, which is the little Anthony with Billy Mumy as the kid that sends people to the cornfield, and he turns the guy into the Jack in the Box, which is chilling.
It really is.
The human head on the spring going back and forth.
Yeah, that one left a mark.
Yes. Yeah.
So, but dolls are a thing. Annabelle is in theaters now. So, I mean, that whole trope isn't going away anytime soon.
I think it's probably going to rush up and explode all over us again.
Yeah, I've heard that Annabelle isn't awesome, but that trailer sells it for me.
The doll herself is awesome.
Mm-hmm.
I was saying, and I am in the minority on this, I was not a big fan of The Conjuring, which is the Annabelle.
And people do love that movie.
Original film, yeah. And I thought the best thing in The Conjuring was that doll.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And what's interesting is the real-life paranormal investigators that the movie is based on. They showed the real doll. It was in, like, a beat-up Raggedy Ann doll. Didn't look like Annabelle.
Yeah, the doll is amazing. All right, 312-981-7200. Let us grab a call. Bear with me. Okay, let's talk to Dwayne. Dwayne, good morning. You're on with Mike McBeardo McPadden.
I was just wondering if James has heard you've heard of this movie called Dolls from the 80s.
I haven't, but I bet you anything Mike has.
Yes, I have. That's
I mean, Mike. Sorry.
No problem. That's Dolls from 1987, directed by Stuart Gordon. And it was the movie he made right after he made Reanimator. And he's a Chicago guy.
Okay.
The Living Theater, works with David Mamet. But has, through Reanimator, become one of the great, great horror maestros of the cinema.
Wow. Thank you, Dwayne. I should point out, Mike is not reading off Wikipedia. Right?
Oh, yeah.
This stuff is just flowing out of his twisted mind. All right. So there are other doll movies that we probably should mention. Chucky. Sure. I mean, he's like, I guess he's...
Yeah, he's like, yeah, I mean, the Elvis of doll movies.
He really is.
He really is, yeah. And I think the Chucky movies... are pretty great for the most part. And I thought Bride of Chucky was kind of the definitive really well done, funny without being too goofy, scary, and introduced the weird Glenn character, which is Chucky and Tiffany's weird doll son.
I haven't even seen that. So another one, I remember as a kid seeing the commercials for the movie Magic.
Oh, Fats, is that
thing. Wow.
Is that terrifying? Those commercials, go on YouTube now, everybody, if you want to stay up the rest of the night.
For real. I mean, that dummy was horrifying.
It was the close-up, and there was the trailer in the theater. So it was a close-up of Fats, who was this just classic wooden-headed dummy. Mm-hmm. And he says, presto, change-o, alakazam, turn me into a man. Magic is fun. You're dead. And then his eyes rolled in the back of his head.
My hair kind of stood on
end. My hair just stood up remembering this. Yeah.
Yeah. Magic was what, 1978?
Yeah.
1978, okay, so yeah. I remember seeing those commercials as an 8-year-old boy.
Yeah. Yeah, me too. Yeah.
Scarring stuff.
So, yeah. Man, you never saw it. You didn't live through the trauma of the Suspiria commercial, did you?
No, but I mean, Suspiria, since we mentioned it earlier,
yeah.
that's a movie a lot of people say is one of the best horror movies of all
time.
Yeah,
I mean, I would absolutely agree with that. I mean, I don't argue with the canon, with the classics. I mean, they're all up there for a reason, and that's one of the great. Dario Argento, an Italian master, surreal, nonsensical, but overpoweringly terrifying.
It'll make you take a hard look at the ballet.
Yes. It's about a dance academy in the Italian Alps that is actually a school for witches.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, just to go on a quick tangent, Sabrina the Teenage Witch.
Yes.
Do you read comics?
No. But
Sabrina's been relaunched as kind of like an EC creepy, eerie horror story. It's awesome.
I'm going to read comics now. Thank you.
It is fantastic.
Wow.
With, you know, Coven of Witches. And,
wow.
Yeah, it is really, really good. And it's drawn in that old, like, black and white, creepy,
that's
eerie
so
style.
That's so cool, yeah.
Yeah, the whole Archie brand's taking extreme liberties with it.
Yeah, I mean, I know there was, like, Archie Undead with his zombies.
Afterlife with Archie. Which was also super great.
Right.
And I think there's an upcoming Archie and Predator team up.
Wow.
Yeah.
I did have the Archie meets Kiss comic, and I have an Archie meets Kiss t-shirt.
I have the Archie Meets Kiss comic as well. All right, let's talk about some things that are under the radar.
Sure.
You know, here's my great frustration. I have Netflix. I think Netflix is a nightmare to go through if you don't know what you're looking for.
I have to agree with you, yeah.
They need to break it down by genre. Like, when I'm looking for a horror movie, just give me a whole list of horror movies right. I can plow through. But I will sit in front of Roku for 40 minutes at a time, just cycling up and down. If you don't have a targeted search, you're out of luck.
Yeah, no, that has become a major part of any kind of movie fan's life, is the hour you lose to Netflix just trying to find anything.
The interface, it needs more. So next time I'm sitting there in front of Roku and I want to see a horror movie, give me some recommendations.
I always recommend, and these were on Netflix, and I think they may still be, The French Went Wild about 10 years ago with these really terrifying extreme horror films, beginning with a movie called High Tension, which was sort of a hit here. And then I'm trying to think of some other ones. They was another one that was sort of unofficially remade as The Strangers.
Okay.
And well, it might be, that was Them, I'm sorry. And two films I think are absolute masterpieces. One is called Inside, which is about a woman who is widowed on Christmas Eve. She's about 9.5 months pregnant. And it starts out as a very kind of sad little drama. And then there's a knock on her door, and this witch is outside. And she spends an hour and a half trying to get the baby out of the pregnant mom. And it is so scary. It's a cat and mouse thing. So effectively done. It's the closest the movie has come to actually making me sick. And not because it was
imagery?
Gross. Which it was. It was definitely powerful images. The intensity of this chase between these two women. By the end, I was really, like, wobbly. Like, whoa!
Yeah. Isn't that the plot of Snow White?
Essentially, yeah. This is a meditation on that. Yeah.
So, really?
I mean, I would think, now that you mention it, yeah, it would work that way, sure.
So if you're a fan of Disney, what you're saying
right,
is,
yeah.
If you like the Walt Disney animated movies, you'll love Inside, the French horror movie.
Yes, whatever the French, L'Intérieur, I think it's called.
All right, that sounds cool. What else is...
The other one is called Martyrs, and this is rough stuff that my wife cried for a week and has not forgiven for making me sit through.
See, here's the thing. I can't watch horror with my wife. She just won't do it. Yeah. For the reason you just said, like, that stuff leaves a mark. So I'm on my own. So my ability to watch horror is greatly diminished because I have to carve out the time when I have no one else around.
Right. Martyrs, to me, it was a very, I was very upset by it initially, and kind of angry at it. And then the next day I was like, oh no, that really gave me a lot to think about. It's about a couple of teenage girls who fall in with a cult that is doing terrible things to teenage girls. And as the movie progresses, it's revealed why the cult is doing this, and it's pretty fascinating. And as a Catholic who was very into the martyrdom of the saints growing up, it was a chilling and thought-provoking film.
So both of these are subtitled, I'm assuming?
Yes, they are, yeah. But they're so... If that's an issue for you, just sit back and let the images pummel you. And that's the universal language of horror.
So Inside and Martyrs
are
two you recommend. Those are French, and those are from this century.
They're from 2007, both of them, yeah.
Okay. I want to get into more of this stuff. The brutal imagery, the uncomfortable stuff, the stuff that makes your wife sick. A lot of people don't have a threshold for that kind of stuff. Right. The torture porn, the saws, the hostels. I want to talk about some horror movies that are more psychological and less of that barf bag.
Yeah.
Do you have some for me? You don't need to give me them right now, but do you have some?
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
Of course you do. Of course you do. Horror movie questions, thoughts, 312-981-7200. WGN.
My name is Talkie Tina, and I love you very much.
Will you shut that thing off?
My name is Talkie Tina, and I think I could even hate you.
It's not okay. It's not okay. WGN, James Van Osel here with Mike McBeardo McPadden, the author of Heavy Metal Movies, a definitive encyclopedia about heavy metal movies, but also about horror movies. Horror and heavy metal are always linked. And since it is Halloween season, Mike's in the studio talking horror films, and he knows it all. 312-981-7200. It's our text and phone number. And Mike, we got a couple texts. Both Glenn and Andy. Glenn in the 773, Andy 608, mentioned the movie Trick or Treat.
Now, this is important, the difference. There's one called Trick or Treat from a few years ago, and there's one called Trick or Treat.
The one from the 1980s.
Okay, so that's Trick or Treat. Mm-hmm. That is the definitive heavy metal horror film.
Why is that?
It's about a heavy metal kid who gets a tape from late night radio host Nuke, played by Gene Simmons of Kiss, which summons a demon, an expired rock star who went to hell and is back, and also features a cameo by Ozzy Osbourne as a televangelist.
It's pretty definitive.
Yeah, a great soundtrack by a band called Fastway, which was...
Fastway, Easy Living.
Absolutely, yeah. Uh-huh. Absolutely, yeah. A British heavy metal supergroup.
Pete Way on guitar?
Yeah. And Fast Eddie Clark from ex-Motorhead, yeah.
That's right. All right, 312-981-7200. Leroy, you have a question for Mike?
Yeah, I do. There's got to be a movie. I think it was on Creature Features a long time ago. Black and white horror flick where a four-poster bed would come down and suffocate people and then rise back up. And for some reason, I'm remembering money used to fall out of a stairway. Do you know what I'm talking about?
I don't.
I'm going to take a guess on this, and it's only because Patton Oswalt does a bit about this. Is it Deathbed?
I don't know.
No, Deathbed is not in black and white.
It's an old haunted house. This guy goes down to his basement, and he looks through some kind of crazy spinning around thing. And I so want to watch this again because as a little kid, it terrified me, absolutely.
It sounds completely terrifying. I wish I had seen it.
You may have Mike stumped, but I'm sure.
I do,
All right, well, Leroy, thanks for the call.
But I'm on the case.
Absolutely.
Yeah, now, Deathbed is from the 70s, and the subtitle is the best part. It's called Deathbed, The Bed That Eats.
That's fantastic. All right, you can text us, 312-981-7200. Wait, we have a guy who knows the answer to that question? This is fantastic. All right, let's go to Ron. Ron, you know what that movie was?
Boy, talk about classics. I'm surprised all of you guys don't know that.
William Castle himself made that film, 13 Ghosts, 1960.
I am humbled. You're correct. Yeah.
All right, so you do know the movie.
Now that he mentions it, yeah, because there's a lot of wild proto-psychedelic imagery in that film, and that fits right in with that, so yeah. Oh, 13 Ghosts, yeah, is a William Castle film that you needed a ghost viewer.
What? What does that mean?
It was sort of 3D glasses that you put on. I'm sure it didn't work. And you would be able to, in the theater, see ghosts on the screen, but only if you wore these cheap, like, cardboard glasses.
That's fantastic. Ron, thanks for setting us straight tonight.
Thank you, Ron. Yep. That was awesome. Oh. You're heroic.
Yeah, really. A real American hero, yes. Ron, telling us about 13 ghosts, a ghost viewer. Those gimmicks drive me nuts.
Well, William Castle was the father of all of them. I love them. Any one of them I'll go out. I'm into. He created The Tingler with Vincent Price, which where the chairs were actually electrified.
Mm-hmm.
And the premise of the movie was this, like, weird, like, centipede gross thing was loose and it attached itself to your spine. And the only way to get it off was to scream. So in the theater, you'd get a little jolt and they'd say, scream, scream.
See, when I think about gimmicks, I think about John Waters and, what was it, polyester?
Rama. Yeah, yeah.
Where you scratch and sniff.
Right, which itself was an homage to Smell-O-Vision, which was from a film called The Scent of Mystery from way back when.
So if I were to go to the McBeardo house, is it just wall-to-wall DVD, Blu-ray, VHS?
You know, this is so weird. I'm not that big a collector.
Just a fan.
I'm a fan. I mean, I have a lot of stuff like on the computer, you know, but the physical objects I don't really need so much. It's part of why I'm covered with the tattoos. It's like I just carry it on my body with me.
You are the illustrated man.
I am, yeah.
All the stories live on your flesh. All right, so one of the reasons you're here is to talk about those under-the-radar horror movies. Sure. As, you know, everyone's kind of in that mood, in that frame of mind. We've all seen the classics. What are those ones that we haven't seen yet? And you mentioned a couple of French movies, which sound distressing. But
if that is the perfect word. Yeah.
But thinking in less of that, less barf baggy.
Sure.
What movies would you recommend?
What came to mind when you brought this up, a classic is Don't Look Now with Donald Sutherland and Julie Christie from the early 70s. I want to say 73, but it could be 1, 2, or 3.
Okay.
They are a couple whose daughter recently died, their young daughter, and they go to Europe, and they keep seeing, she has a red raincoat, the little girl, and they just keep seeing her around, okay. Donald Sutherland. It is very, it's a mixture of, like, real, you know, powerful melancholy, which becomes this intense psychological terror, with an amazing shock ending. And no gore, there's nothing gory about any of this, but the ending will make you jump up out of your chair.
I love a good shock ending, or I guess you'd say like a non-Hollywood ending. Donald Sutherland is in another movie that has a terrific ending a couple years after that, Invasion of the Body Snatchers.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
To me, one of the great all-time endings.
Yeah, I mean, one of the great images in all of cinema. That
it really
shot.
Is. Yeah. We've seen homages everywhere from The Simpsons to... I've seen in other places,
like
too.
The Muppets, I think.
Right. Very true. Yeah. One of the two most recent Muppet movies.
Yeah.
I love that movie.
Yeah.
It's a remake of the 50s one. Yeah. But Jeff Goldblum, Leonard Nimoy. I mention this one a lot. I think that may be one of my favorite movies ever.
I have to go with you on that. I mean, it's as good as the 50s one, and the 50s one is one of the great sci-fi horror films.
So. It's a very stressful movie to watch.
It really is. And it's a perfect example of something that is just psychologically based. And you feel your brain closing in on you as you watch it. You
know? Yeah, it's very uncomfortable because you don't know how the heroes are going to get out of the situation they're in. All right, so what else would you recommend?
Well, give me a little direction.
So Saturday night, I want to see a horror movie.
You mentioned your 13-year-old son.
Yes.
And introducing him to horror films.
Yeah, I don't even know if I said this on the air, but when we were kids, Mike, we could see everything.
Right.
It was all fair game. I think I was watching Dawn of the Dead
when
I was an early teen.
I'm 46, and so Dawn of the Dead came out. I was 11. It took me a year, because movies used to play for years, remember?
Oh, yeah.
Video. So the following summer, it played the Dollar Theater in my grandmother's town in Jersey, and we didn't even sneak in. We bought tickets as 12-year-olds and walked into Dawn of the Dead.
But things are completely different now. And the movies that I saw as a kid, I wouldn't show to my kid.
Right.
For a kid who is interested in horror, and this is something I'm so glad you're here. for a kid who's interested, what can I show him without being the worst parent of the year?
Two perfect films to get kids into horror are both from 1987. One is called The Gate, which is one of the great heavy metal horror films. And
hey, can you hear my pen? I'm writing this down.
Yeah, and I go on at length in the book about this. Was a hit at the time and has sort of fallen through the cracks since then. Little kids, one of whom is Stephen Dorff, young Stephen Dorff.
Oh, wow.
And they play a heavy metal record backwards, and it opens up a portal to hell from their backyard. And these
wait, this is a full page in your book. No kidding.
Yeah, The Gate is it's one of the movies I hope that the book would kind of revive, because I really like this film so much.
And it's okay for...
Perfectly okay for kids. It's funny, but it's scary. It's spooky, and there's some good jumps. It has these amazing little homunculi men that come out of the ground and run around the house. And
okay, that's pretty cool.
They kind of look like the Sleestaks, but they kind of look like claymation, but... They're actually done with...
Sleestaks from Land of the
Lost.
From
Land of the Lost, yeah. Uh-huh. I say that like, you know, they kind of look like, you know, George Washington. Sleestaks.
Yeah, right. Just had to stop there for a second. Yeah.
From Land
Recalibrate.
Of the Lost.
Recalibrate.
Yes. Uh-huh. And then another film also from that summer, 1987, is called The Monster Squad.
I kind of remember... I want to say that was cheesy, though, right? Like Frankenstein, Dracula?
It's cute. It's for kids. And it ends... It's not in the book.
Okay. Because it's not very metal.
Because it really is a kid's film. And it's about a group of kids that befriend Dracula, Frankenstein, the Wolfman, and the creature from the Black Lagoon. Dracula, they don't befriend him. He's the bad guy. And it is just, it's kind of Little Rascals-like in nature. And a surprise ending with a surprise hero at the end that I always really like. The last half hour, when everybody teams up against Dracula, is really cool.
That sounds awesome.
Yeah.
All right, 312-981-7200. You can text or call us. Hi, Glenn. You're on WGN.
Hey, guys. I just had a movie for you that's not really full of gore, but it's pretty tense. The Changeling with George C.
Great
Scott.
Great film. Yes, a great, yeah. Again, a kind of a mixture of sadness and paranoia. He plays a composer who moves into a house that's haunted by a boy who was murdered there, named Joseph.
I think I've never seen that.
It's a very, very good movie from, I think, 1980.
The Changeling.
The Changeling.
Mike McBeardo McPadden is here. He's the author of Heavy Metal Movies. We're talking horror movies. Mike, what do you have free time? It seems like this is all you do is watch movies and write about
them. Yeah, the answer is... that is time to me, is watching movies and writing about them. So
it's one of life's great luxuries, you doing what you love.
Yeah, it really is terrific.
All right, so we'll be right back. We'll talk about horror movies. We'll answer your questions, too. 312-981-7200.
For 66 years, evil has been waiting, watching, wanting for someone to play with its toys.
Gotta have a lot of fun here tonight, friend. Demonic Toys? Is that what
this is? That is Demonic Toys, yes. Which is a offshoot of the Puppet Master film series. Again, a Chicago-based company. Charles Band, Full Moon Pictures, Empire Pictures, yeah.
There's a Chicago connection. Mike McBeardo McPadden is my guest. He's an author. We're talking horror movies. 312-981-7200. Just in time for Halloween. There's also a Chicago connection to the Faces of Death movie, isn't there?
That came out of, I'm trying to think of the guy that created it.
Like the distributor.
Yeah.
Was based in Chicago.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that movie, that was like a coming of age thing.
That was a rite of passage for
it
a generation.
It totally was.
Yeah.
I mean, that.
Dr. Francis B. Gross and.
Yes. But I mean, I remember, you know, me and my dumb buddies going to the video store once a month to rent that. We'd be so bummed if someone else had it out.
Right, yeah.
But that was one of those things we kind of squirrel it away in our jacket, bring it downstairs in the basement, pop it in the VCR, and just have our minds blown because we believed it was all real.
Really?
Everything. Yeah. Well, yeah, there was no internet to dispel
right.
idea.
Yeah.
And
I think I didn't buy when the guy in the electric chair is dead and the like priest goes, he's not dead yet. Give him some more juice. It's like, all right.
But the monkey scene, which...
The monkey scene's pretty convincing, yeah.
I bought it all.
Yeah.
You know, as a 12 or 13-year-old kid, why wouldn't I?
Yeah. I've since read the explanation of the monkey scene, and I'm glad that it was a puppet monkey. So.
Yeah. Hooray for puppet monkeys. 312-981-7200. Let's talk to Hansford. Good morning.
Hello? Good morning. How are you guys?
Good. Right. Do you have a recommendation for us?
Yes, I do. I don't know if you're still on the genre of the Twilight Zone.
Yeah, we could always go back to the Twilight Zone.
Well, I'm a 69-year-old Vietnam veteran, and when I was a child, I used to watch the Twilight Zone. I was like a junkie on the Twilight Zone. And, when you know, Rod Serling smoked four packs of cigarettes a day and died about 40-something years old. And his wife would not let him release one episode that he wrote because she just was totally against it. She approved all the other ones for release.
Wait, so there's a hidden Twilight Zone episode?
I assume it's hidden. I just read his autobiography at the library not too long ago. And I'm just wondering if that would be something to throw out there because... If you want me to, I'll tell you what episode it is off the air, and that way people can call in and see if they can guess what it is.
Well, we wouldn't mind taking down that information. I'll put you on hold here, Hansford. Do you know about that?
I didn't know about this, no. I learned something tonight, yeah.
You know, that's what we're here for.
That very much, yeah.
You know what this is, Mike? Yeah. It's edutainment.
I've been edutained. Yeah.
You have been. Yeah. Let's talk to Jim. Hi, Jim. Good morning. You're on WGN.
Guys. Hey, good morning. I remember being younger. I think it's the late 70s. Andy Warhol's Frankenstein and Andy Warhol's Dracula.
It's actually the early 70s. And
yes.
Two great films. Frankenstein was first, both directed by Paul Morrissey. Andy Warhol was the producer. And very garish, kind of decadent, weird takes on the movies.
I'm shocked. Udo Kier's been in everything, hasn't he?
Yeah, great German actor, great piercing eyes. Still looks the same.
Uh-huh.
He plays...
Because he's a cyborg.
Yeah, or whatever he is, it works. He plays Dr. Frankenstein, and he plays Dracula himself. And I'll tell you, I have a sad story about Andy Warhol's Frankenstein, which was... I was dying to see it as a kid. Dying. And it was getting re-released when I was 13 years old. It was like there, it was in 3D, and like 3D movies were rare at the time. This was like early 1982. Mm-hmm. I got a bad report card and was grounded for one week only it was back in theaters. So I've never seen it in 3D.
Did you pick up your grades?
No.
No.
I'm here now, yeah, so.
But you learned how to write at some point.
Yeah, the hard way, yeah.
Did you take like writing classes in school, and was that your major?
No, I actually was a film major for 3 semesters, and then I was... a writer, because I no longer had a college that would welcome me back.
I find stories like that fascinating.
Yeah.
You found a way to, I mean, you became a writer based out of your passion for something else. Like,
yeah,
you don't have that training.
No, I started publishing a underground magazine, a zine, as we called it back in the 90s, called Happy Land.
So you'd go to Kinko's every week, get them all stapled?
Well, I actually had a job in a Wall Street library, and... I had the late shift, and they had a copier, and I had a printing press as a result of that. So,
that's fantastic. Yeah. All right, 312-981-7200. Hi, Steve. Good morning.
Good morning.
What's on your mind?
I wonder what he thought of the original House on Haunted Hill when the nun came skating out.
Great Vincent Price classic. Another William Castle film where the gimmick was Emergo.
Emergio.
And Emergio.
I think Emergio is a member of the Legion of Superheroes.
Well, Emergio in this case was a skeleton that came out of the screen. It was actually behind the screen, and it would, on a wire above the audience, fly out across the audience.
I love that.
And the first time they tested it, they used like a plastic skeleton, and it would fall down and hurt people. So then they went with inflatable skeletons.
Emergio. All right, so we're talking about Under the Radar horror movies for this upcoming Halloween. Slasher movies. We've seen Halloween. We've seen Friday the 13th. Yeah. Are there movies of that genre that are worth checking out? Or, to me, my gut says they're all kind of the same.
Well, there's a formula. I mean, you know, like blues, like punk rock, there's a formula, and it's what you do with those three chords and, you know, electricity. And, yeah, there are some really interesting ones. I'm a fan of the movie Madman. We got a guy named Madman Mars.
Okay.
And if you say his name, he appears, and he's got an axe. So be careful when you say Madman Mars out in the woods. Maniac, do you remember that one?
I do remember that.
With Joe Spinell, is a fascinating film. One of the first real gross-outs, caused a lot of controversy in its day. The DVD, the Blu-ray packages have amazing documentaries about the controversies that it caused.
Where do you stand on the Rob Zombie movies?
You know, I don't love them. And I'm the guy that wrote heavy metal movies. And I like the first one. I like House of a Thousand Corpses. I think that's a great work of imagination.
Mm-hmm.
The other ones I don't like so much. And one of them, The Lords of Salem, the last one, I thought was really terrible. And I don't trash movies in the book. That was the one I was like, I gotta be honest with.
There are some movies you're less kind to in the book.
Yeah, yeah. I'm a little dismissive of some. But the only one I was like, this is just dire.
All right. I want to grab this call because he's calling about a movie that I haven't seen in ages. I can't find it anywhere. Hi, Art. You're on with Mike on WGN.
Hey, guys. I tell you what. You know, I'm on my way to work this morning, and I live in Atlanta, Georgia, and I always flip through the AM dial, and I caught your show. And I'm telling you, a movie that I'm thinking of when I was a kid, and I haven't seen an AG, it's called Phantasm. And
that is a Stone Cold classic.
I just remember how that movie just freaked me out at the end of it. I mean, I think they were shrinking people down for slavery to work in hell or something like that.
You got it, man.
That's it. There's your elevator pitch right there.
It was another dimension.
Crazy flick.
Yeah, it's completely wild.
Art, thank you for listening all the way in Georgia, no less. We really appreciate it.
Yeah. Phantasm, completely wild, has generated three sequels. There's another one coming.
You can't find the original. I was looking.
Really?
As recently as last week, I think. It's not on Netflix.
I'm surprised.
I mean, maybe the DVD's available on Netflix?
I'm for sure it's you can get the Blu-ray and the DVD.
But you can't stream it anywhere. I looked on Amazon. Yeah. I've been dying to see it. I mean, the creepy old caretaker dude.
The tall man played by Angus Scrimm.
That's it.
Yeah.
And I remember those little, like, Jawa-looking guys.
They look a lot like Jawas, yeah. And that's what it was. People were being turned into these weird little Jawa slaves and this portal to another hellish dimension through the funeral home.
But a wildly imaginative movie.
Yeah, just one of the... Yeah, I mean, that is the best word for it. Vincent Canby, in his New York Times review, was very enthusiastic about Phantasm initially. And he said, it's sort of like if a very smart and intelligent 8-year-old was telling you a ghost story that he was making up on the spot.
We got a text from 815, St. Frankenstein Experiment.
I don't know the St. Frankenstein Experiment.
I don't either. This person
I did go to Catholic school. I'm not familiar with St. Frankenstein, though.
Let's see. Mothman Prophecies.
Yeah.
815 said it completely freaked me out.
Mothman Prophecies, based on an allegedly fact-based book. Pretty good movie with Richard Gere from, I don't know, early 2000s. Just about a guy who had a vision of impending doom at the same time that this weird Mothman creature was appearing in people's lives in this town in, I think, Arkansas. Yeah, it was Arkansas. I think it was Arkansas or West Virginia. Yeah, I can't remember. But whatever the town was, I drove through it, and the Mothman Museum was closed.
Oh.
So.
All right. Don't go anywhere, Mike McBeardo McPadden.
Thank you.
Not easy for me to say. I want to take a break. Rob Martier will do the news. And we'll have more with Mike. It's 312-981-7200. Spooky movies, scary stuff, Halloween. That's what we're doing.
She was murdered.
The men cut out her tongue.
And this town has been plagued by death ever since. Families found without their tongues.
WGN?
She was buried with her doll collection.
James Van Osler here from Matt Bubala. Mike McBeardo McPadden, author, writer. He's written the book Heavy Metal Movies. He is a horror aficionado. What was that?
That was Dead Silence from 2007. And that is a movie about a dummy named Billy that will take your tongue out of your head.
Is it scary?
It's pretty good, yeah. It's James Wan, who directed the original Saw and is now one of the creators of American Horror Story.
All right, where do you stand on Saw? I like the first one.
I didn't love the first one. Loved a lot of the sequels, I have to say.
Really?
At one point in the book, my publisher had to limit the amount of Saw movies that made the cut. Pun intended. And I said, but you understand, Ian, it's a point of pride that I have detailed opinions about every Saw movie.
For real. Now, for me, when I saw Saw, I felt like I hadn't really seen that before, but I'm right. Guessing that you maybe have. Like, that wasn't unfamiliar territory for you.
Yeah, no, I think it was fairly original. You know, there's Tales from the Crypt from the 70s had a weird funhouse story about an evil man being put through these tortures. But Saw was a new idea, and I think really well done, particularly Saw 3.
Okay.
With its it had a part where a guy was trapped under liquefied pigs. That was really scary and weird.
Yeah, that creeps me out. 312-981-7200. Good morning, Jill. Thanks for hanging on the line.
Hi. Yeah, you guys are inspiring me to get out my Halloween decorations.
Good.
Terrific.
I have a 5-year-old black cat wandering around here, too, so...
Be careful.
Mine is when the guy was talking about the Twilight Zones that couldn't be one that wasn't aired. There was an X-Files called Home...
Yeah.
I don't know.
I remember that.
Really?
It only aired once, and then Fox would never show it again. And thank you for calling, Jill. I appreciate it. This was the one about incest.
Oh.
It was a really, really disturbing episode. It's available on home video, obviously.
Right.
But there was such a backlash after this episode aired. I loved The X-Files. Fox just refused to air it ever again. It was a one-time-only deal. And I remember watching X-Files was on Friday nights. I remember sitting at home watching that, just feeling uncomfortable about life afterward.
Well so, done, X-Files.
Yeah. Were you a fan of that? Are you...
I was a casual fan of the X-Files. I didn't watch all the time, but I mean, you know, it was great. And I was often startled by the subject matter and the level of violence and gore on it. Yeah.
Yeah. And Gillian Anderson's pantsuits.
Yeah, very much. Yeah.
They were fetching. All right, let's talk to JR. Hi, JR. You're on with Mike McBeardo McPatton. Good morning.
Hi. I had a movie to recommend.
A movie to recommend? Okay.
Yeah, I want to say it's from like the mid-2000s. It's called Ravenous.
What's it called? What was it?
Ravenous.
Oh, Ravenous.
Do you know that?
Yes. I saw Ravenous, and I kind of don't remember it, but I thought it was okay.
Yeah, that's right. It. Didn't leave a mark.
Yeah.
So we were talking off air. What is American Mary?
American Mary. So we want to talk about some new horror and things that are going on. You know, there are these Hollywood films like Insidious and things like that, and you know, they have their pleasures and what, but the real stuff is bubbling underground.
Sure.
And American Mary is written and directed by twin sisters named Jen and Sylvia Saska, who call themselves the Twisted Twins. And they're very outspoken young women and very talented. And American Mary is a movie about a woman who, to pay off her medical school expenses, this young doctor, played by Catherine Isabel, gets into the world of freaky plastic surgery, like plastic surgery addicts. And it is very disturbing. And they're one of the weirdest characters I've ever seen in any movie or TV show is this kind of human Betty Boop.
Oh, boy.
That's in American Mary. I mean, it's a really freaky and upsetting character. And she's in it very prominently.
Freaky and upsetting.
Yeah.
Good morning.
And they have a couple of new movies coming. They have See No Evil 2, which I think is just on VOD now. And... an adaptation of the comic book Painkiller Jane that they're doing. And I think they are a powerful force in horror to come.
Painkiller Jane? Is that a Jimmy Palmiotti thing?
You know, I'm not an expert in that field.
Okay.
So.
And what is Green Hell?
Green Hell is Eli Roth's new film that we may or may not ever see.
Wait, is it one of those? Like, this is the movie they don't want you to see?
Yeah, that's, I mean, they're going to sell it that way. For whatever reason, this movie lost its distribution deal. It was supposed to come out this month. Eli Roth, who is the creator of Hostel, played the Bear Jew in Inglourious Basterds, a good friend of Quentin Tarantino. And The Green Hell is his homage reimagining of the 80s Italian cannibal movies like Make Them Die Slowly, a.k.a. Cannibal Ferox, and Cannibal Holocaust, and Eaten Alive, and
so, seems like a pretty small niche. Italian cannibal horror from the 80s.
That's a good point. That's a good point. It looms so large in the weird weird world of
in the moment. I'm sure it seemed like everything, but when you say Italian cannibal horror of the 80s, it seems very micro to me.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it depends on your perspective, but yeah, you are right. So perhaps not enough of an audience to pack the theaters with that one.
Later on this hour, I'll be talking to Deke Dickerson and Los Straitjackets, who are playing later tonight out in Berwyn at Fitzgerald's. Before we get there, I want to go through io9, the website io9.com, sure. Yeah. Put out a list of the 55 scariest moments from sci-fi and fantasy movies. I figure there's no one better to go through this list with. We'll cover that next. Mike McBeardo McPadden, I always flip-flop him.
Mike McPadden is fine, yeah.
Can I just call you McBeardo?
Sure, yeah, that's fine too.
All right, McBeardo is in the studio. He's written heavy metal movies, Guitar Barbarians, Mutant Bimbos, and Cult Zombies Amok in the 666 most ear and eye-ripping big scream films ever. It's a thing. It's a book. He's in the studio, 312-981-7200, if you want to talk scary, spooky stuff. Hey, check this out. IHOP's giving away scary face pancakes on Halloween.
Yeah.
Got to be 12 and under, though. Doesn't really look that scary, though. Looks like a very happy pancake.
Yeah, yeah. He's smiling, and there's nothing menacing about that.
On that note, I love candy corn. That should be an all-year-long thing.
I like that it comes out just for this time of year, and I love it. I'll eat it till I get sick, which happens fast, and then I keep going.
Do you do the candy pumpkins that are like
the
candy corn?
Mallow pumpkins, yes, yeah.
I can't do the pumpkins. I love the candy corn.
Yes, I'm with you. I prefer the corn. I'll take the pumpkins.
But I don't like it with the brown bottoms.
Completely different experience, and I'm not for it. Yeah.
It is. All right, we'll be right back. Help! WGN. James Van Ozel here with Mike McBeardo McPadden. That's Barbarella.
Yeah, not a horror film, but a horror moment where Jane Fonda, as our space heroine, is attacked by these really scary walking wooden dolls owned by these evil space kids.
Dolls have been a running theme.
They have.
Tonight.
Yeah.
Scary dolls.
Yeah.
Annabelle in theaters now.
Yeah.
Mike's written heavy metal movies. And before we went to break, I mentioned io9.com, which is a site I read fairly regularly, has a list of the 55 scariest moments from sci-fi and fantasy movies. Now, before I even get into this, are there movies that to you as a horror guy stand out? Are there like moments that you say, wow, that's it? I still get shivers thinking about that.
Texas Chainsaw Massacre, to me, is the scariest movie ever made. Every time I watch it, I am as scared as the first time I saw it.
Really?
And the scariest moment to me is when Leatherface, we first meet him, there's a giant steel door. It comes open. He steps out. He hits a guy with a ball-peen hammer in the head, a little sledgehammer. The guy spazzes out on the ground. Leatherface keeps hitting him, grabs him, pulls him in, makes a scary face at the girl that's screaming, and shuts the door. That is horrifying and chilling.
All right, so some of the things on this list. Signs, the movie Signs.
Right.
That first peek of the alien on screen.
Yeah.
That, when I saw that in the theater, that was a make you jump, or at least...
You know what got me in that movie was that birthday party, like in South America, with the monster walking outside and the kids.
Oh, that's what I was talking
out.
About. Oh, yeah. No, I thought it was on TV. Okay, maybe, yeah.
Yeah, it was a news report. They were like, down in Brazil, this birthday party. It's like, whoa.
That was it.
That was great.
Freaked me out. This list mentions Invasion of the Body Snatchers, the last scene of that.
Great jump shock.
Man. Phantasm, which we talked about, the attack in the mausoleum.
Yes.
For scariest moments. The Pale Man in Pan's Labyrinth.
Oh, absolutely.
Absolutely. Jurassic Park, the raptors in the kitchen.
It's suspenseful.
Yeah, more suspenseful than frightening.
Yeah.
Jacob's Ladder, the Tim Robbins movie.
Yes, great, weird, surreal visions of hell and other dimensions.
The Eyeless Doctors.
Yeah,
very, very creepy.
Creepy. Yeah, yeah.
Dawn of the Dead, when the handsome Roger transforms into a hideous blue zombie.
To me, that's not really scary. It's compelling. To me, the zombies bursting out of the elevator is the scariest moment.
Oh, man. There's a it was the remake with Ving Rhames.
Right.
Which one was that? Was that Dawn?
That was Dawn, yeah.
There's a scene where there are two characters who communicate back and forth on rooftops.
Yeah.
By signs.
The signs, yeah.
I think the most chilling moment of that movie is when the zombie, the guy who turned into a zombie, holds up the sign and it's illegible because he's a zombie.
Yeah, that was great.
That one just scared my pants off.
Yeah.
That was something.
They did a great remake, which is a rare thing to say. Yeah, the Dawn of the Dead is a great remake.
Alien.
Oh, please. There's a lot of them in that. Yeah.
Well, the chest bursting.
Chest burster is, I mean, there's a lot, but there's the chest burster.
And that's been, parodied and talked about, for forever since 1979. Yeah. Saw that one as a kid, went with my dad, made him leave the theater after that exact moment. That was too much for the 10-year-old James Van Osdell. That was it. I was out. And I mean, how scary. And there was nothing like it before.
No. Absolutely. Nothing like that monster either. What a horrifying looking thing. Yeah.
And there's a lot to say for that pre-internet era where you couldn't have stuff like that spoiled.
Right.
Where you experienced it for the first time, you had no preconceived idea of how frightening it would be.
Right.
That was something. The Ring. Where do you stand on The Ring?
I love it.
I do,
I
too.
I love it. And normally, I mean, it's a remake of a foreign film. It's PG-13. I was like, oh, come on. It was great. It's better than the original version, I think.
The phone rings in that movie, I freak out.
Yeah. To me, the girl crawling out of the television, which is not a spoiler because it's iconic image now.
It is.
Is so scary, and it's such a slow, sustained scare.
Uh-huh. It is. I'm laughing now, and I do this. I realize this is something I do. When I see really creepy stuff that makes me uncomfortable, I have that nervous laugh.
Sure, yeah, that's part, yeah.
Uh-huh, oh my God. The Blair Witch Project, last scene of that.
Final shot of that is one of the great shots in all of horror, yeah.
It really is. I saw the movie during the daytime. Right. I saw it at the Piper's Alley. And I remember walking out, it was like 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and I thought, I'm so glad the sun's out.
Yeah, right.
I just... What a feeling of dread.
Right.
The end of Blair Witch left me with.
I mean, I watched, I was like, all right, this is clever though. I'm going through it. And then the last shot, I was like, boom, masterpiece.
Exactly. Yeah. 0 to 60 right there. The Exorcist, lots of highlights.
Yeah.
Spider Walk.
I always thought the Spider Walk, which is not in the original version, that was added for that re-release in the early 2000s.
Was it?
Yeah.
I didn't realize that.
I think it's kind of silly. To me, there's much scarier stuff in the... I think, when Regan goes to Linda Blair goes to the doctor and they're injecting her, that's scarier than the spider walk to me.
Fair enough. Scanners?
Oh,
when they're first created in the hospital?
Yeah, that's scary, yeah. I mean, few things are as awesome as the head exploding. Still.
Uh-huh.
It's one of the greatest things ever.
I remember seeing that as a kid. Again, right. There were so many movies I saw that I shouldn't have.
Right.
But I remember walking away from that movie wishing there were more head explosions because that was the thing.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, yeah.
You know, if head exploding's your thing, let's...
Yeah, you know, you're right.
Let's go to the wall with those head explosions.
Yeah.
Night of the Living Dead, I think, start to finish, pick a scene.
To me, that with Texas Chainsaw Massacre, I say in the book, they tap into pre-human fears. And it's an old movie, it's black and white, and, very cheap, but it is chilling to the core of my soul every time I see it.
And think about the year that came out.
68,
What that movie did, what that movie showed, the zombies eating entrails. I mean, how shocking that must have been for people who saw that for the first time in the 1960s.
You know, there's a famous Roger Ebert. It's not a review. It's an article about the Night of the Living Dead phenomenon that was in Reader's Digest. And he was upset. He said the movie is too effective. And he saw it at a Saturday matinee with little kids watching it.
Oof.
And he said they all started crying and it was awful. And
adults were weeping.
Yeah, it was a piece about violence in the movies,
And think about how much that has progressed.
Yeah, Yeah, and it's like, but it's so effective in Night of the Living Dead.
Village of the Damned, speaking of 1960s, when the evil children turn the guns on the adults.
Yeah, and their eyes and everything about them. Very scary kids.
Yeah. Let's go really far back. Dr. X, 1932.
Dr. X with Humphrey Bogart, yeah.
The Vat of Plastic Skin, the reveal of that.
You know, I got to say, I don't remember.
Well, it was 1932.
Yeah.
This is before Superman. The Thing, the 1982 John Carpenter version.
Yeah.
After tying up half of the cast on the bench, Kurt Russell slowly proceeds to test each character for monster blood. And then he has to figure out...
One of the great jump shots in all of movies.
Mm-hmm.
Just, you know, you leap from your chair.
Yeah, we were talking about endings, like movies that end great. One of my favorite horror movie endings, it was a shocker, it was another one that left me uncomfortable, was The Mist.
Oh, sure, yeah.
The Stephen King, based on the novella.
Yeah.
That was not a tidy ending.
No, and it was a bummer.
It was a total bummer.
Was a bummer. I mean, to me, the ultimate bummer, and it's not quite horror, but it is a 7. I walked home myself, like, just weeping for humanity at the end of that one.
Yeah, for sure. Let's do one or two more here. 28 Days Later, where do you stand on those zombie movies?
They were okay. You know, I didn't love them. I mean, I thought it was a nice, interesting twist on that stuff. And then I got kind of zombied out after those. But
I think we all did. I prefer the sequel, 28 Weeks.
Also a good movie, yeah. Yeah.
But 28 Days, okay.
Yeah.
The very empty London is kind of scary.
It is, yeah. I would agree. Yeah, it's effectively done, yeah.
But yeah, you said it. I'm kind of zombied out.
Yeah. I mean, I got zombied out. I don't watch The Walking Dead because I got zombied out.
Well, I read the comics.
Right.
Watched the first few shows. And I thought they were just too slow, and they didn't connect. And I know people are nuts about it.
Yeah.
But
we're both in trouble for admitting this now, so.
I know that. I put it to you like this. I want to like The Walking Dead.
Yeah.
But it hasn't moved me.
I saw The Empty City, The Southern Sheriff. I was like, okay, here we go. Goodbye.
And the comic, I like the idea. I mean, in telling stories like this, you don't want to see the characters have a good time.
No.
And in Walking Dead, things just keep getting worse. Like,
right.
How much worse can they get? Oh, my God, they got that worse. I appreciate that. Robert Kirkman, who writes the comic, he does a fantastic job. And they're translating it to the show. Just didn't do it for me. Yeah. And I think it's because we've hit peak zombie.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. No, I think we've crested over the top of the peak.
For sure. Maybe World War Z was peak zombie. Not but the book.
The book, yeah. I would definitely agree with you on that, yeah.
Nightmare on Elm Street, the first one.
I will say this, the one film that ever injured me because I was scared. The part where Nancy, Heather Langenkamp, has figured out how to pull Freddy out of the dream.
Mm-hmm.
And this is masterful suspense because she wakes up, she's sitting on her bed, she's freaking out, hyperventilating. You know Freddy's somewhere in the room. And then suddenly he pops up, bang, from behind the bed. I leapt out of my chair, literally, and twisted my ankle coming back down.
So, there's that one scene in that movie where the guy starts dozing off. Or it was the guy. And you hear the teacher talking, and then it kind of transforms into something very dark and evil and weird.
Yeah. That might be in number two where it's the guy. Yeah. Yeah.
Really distressing.
I mean, they're very good. Yeah. No, I mean, the nightmare movies are good. Yeah,
I mean, Freddy really became good. A cartoon pretty quick.
Yeah.
But
by the fourth one, it was kind of over. Yes.
But yeah, seeing that first one, which was low budget, but still super cool. And
it's so cool. And again, you know, like Phantasm, a work of vivid and original imagination. Yes.
All right, Mike McBeardo McPadden, you've hung out here for most of the morning. Can't thank you enough. I'm fascinated by all that you know.
I thank you so much. This was great.
And happy Halloween to you.
And to you, too.
The book is Heavy Metal Movies. Mike McBeardo McPadden. This is, I said this much earlier tonight. It's the kind of book you can pick up on any page and just go. It's a fun book. You may read about movies you will never want to see,
yeah.
But you find a way to make them interesting.
Thank you so much.